got credit questions? I've got answers. This is Jerry Detweiler, and you're listening to Talk Credit Radio. We're live every week and on the web 24/7 at talkcreditradio.com. Well, welcome. Today's theme is credit scores. I get a lot of questions about this, and I've got two of the top experts in the country joining me. Later on in this show, I'll talk with Tom Quinn. He worked at FICO for 15 years, and he's going to separate credit score fact from fiction, and he's going to explain how you really can build a better credit score. But first, you're going to learn how to get a mortgage and take advantage of today's low mortgage rates and great home prices, and they really are good in many parts of the country right now, even if your credit isn't perfect. Joe Kelly is my first guest, and he's the creator of a unique mortgage management program called ARC Loan. It's the Automatic Rate Cut Loan. It's been featured in national publications such as Money Magazine, Time, Kiplinger's Personal Finance, The Wall Street Journal, and The Washington Post. He's a mortgage expert and innovator, and he ranked among the top 1% of loan officers in the United States from 1991 to 1996. Welcome, Joe.
Glad to be here, Jerry. Happy Friday to you.
Thank you. So, Joe, one of the questions I want to talk about first is for those who have been through credit difficulties, I'm getting this question a lot right now. If someone has been through foreclosure, when can they start thinking about buying a home?
Great question. And unfortunately, there's quite a bit number of people out there who have had to deal with that issue. But by no means does it mean that that they won't be able to be buying houses again. As a general rule of thumb, if someone has gone through a foreclosure and their home has been foreclosed and has been sold, they need to wait 3 years from the final date, from the final sales date, not when the process started, but when that property was finally sold. They would need to wait 3 years before they could purchase and obtain another loan.
Okay, and is that pretty standard through various types of mortgage programs, or is that a government program? Or?
It is fairly standard. That's Fannie and Freddie, and I'm pretty confident that also holds true for HUD for programs like the FHA. It's pretty much across the board that they want to see a 3-year period of time. The other thing that everyone needs to be aware of is, in addition to that, they need to make sure that obviously that they pay attention to their credit, that they have reestablished credit if they had other issues going on with their credit and their scores, and taking proactive measures to make sure that that score is brought up and speaking with the right people to make sure that that's going to be in line as well.
Okay, well, and that's something we're certainly going to be talking about today, both in this segment as well as my next segment with Tom Quinn, who's worked at FICO and is going to talk specifically about rebuilding credit. Going along with this, Joe, the other question I'm getting, in fact, I just got this in my email box this week, is someone who has decent credit but their spouse has bad credit, or vice versa. They have bad credit but their spouse has good credit. Can you walk us through how it works when you have two people who are trying to get a mortgage on a property that they want to own together, and one has great credit and the other one maybe not so great?
Exactly. We see that quite a bit. And a couple, there's some strategies that can be used and just some things to kind of take a look at and see whether it's going to be an issue. First of all, let's say that one of the partners or people who are looking to purchase a property, as you said, has great credit or has good credit, a credit score above 680, 700, that range, and the other one does not. The first thing to look at is, do you need to have that other person on the mortgage? Do you need their income to help you qualify for the property that the loan you're trying to get? Doesn't mean that they can't be on the title, and if you're a husband and wife or partners or whatever the case may be, it doesn't prevent them from still being part of that owning the property. But if you don't need them, and it's going to cause more hurdles, if you will, because of the credit issues, that would be the first thing to look at.
Well, Joe, I think this is a really important point, because I think most people, especially married couples, are going to think, if we're going to own this house together, we both have to be on the mortgage loan.
And there are some, it's difficult to go into all details on a radio show. There are some states where there are common law states. Certain states have some additional requirements depending on the type of loan, such as FHA, that credit score might come into play. But in general, the first thing you want to look at is, hey, do we really need to even worry about this issue? Let's say you do. In many cases, you have two people. You need both incomes. You need assets from both parties to be putting down on that property. And then let's address the question of, okay, well, one of them has credit scores that are going to keep us or seriously impact us in getting financing. And let me address that for a minute on how a lender is going to look at that. When the lender pulls the credit report for those two people, husband and, we'll just say husband and wife making a purchase, they are going to be using what is called the lowest median score. And let me explain that. And you'll go into this further, I'm sure, on the credit side as well. But when someone goes to get a mortgage credit report, it is what's called a tri-merge. There's three credit agencies reporting. There's three scores that are given. And the mortgage lender is going to look at the middle score. And
okay,
let's say that the wife's score is 750 and the husband's score is 650 for whatever reason. Pick on the men since I am one. you know, the lender, from a qualification for whatever loan they're looking to apply, is going to be using the lower of those two scores, those two middle scores, the 650.
Okay, so you said that's for the qualification.
Right.
So explain what you mean by that.
Okay, so depending on what type of program they may be going for, whether it is what's called a conventional loan, typical Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac loan, or a government type of loan like FHA or a VA loan if they're a veteran, there are certain minimum credit scores that are required in order to qualify for that loan. And over the last several years, that bar has been gradually being raised. It's actually starting to come back down, so we're seeing some very good things that make people should be considering buying right now, because there's things that have kind of eased off over what's happened over the last 4 years. But they're going to be looking for a minimum credit score in general, okay? And again, speaking just kind of in general, someone should be looking to have their credit scores at a number of 680 or above to qualify for most mortgage programs. Of course, there are other qualifications such as income and other things, but from a credit standpoint, they're going to be looking for like a credit score of 680 or above.
Okay, and we should clarify that that's a FICO credit score for mortgage lending purposes, because
yes,
they may use other credit scores, or you
right,
may subscribe to a service that gives you your credit score, but it's not a FICO score, and it's on a different scale, and it's not the same thing. So
very important distinction.
Okay.
Because lots of people go out and run and get, and they should, be monitoring their own credit and looking at that. And they may see a different score than what the mortgage lender is going to see when they do a mortgage FICO credit score.
Okay.
Now, there are programs that allow lower credit scores and still can get approved. And there are a number of programs that allow scores down to the 640 range. And it used to be much lower than that, but it's come up in that as a general rule. 640 is really the kind of the worst case scenario you want to try and be looking at if you're looking to qualify for a mortgage.
Okay, and I'm interested in the fact that you say that the score requirements are easing a little bit, because that has been a real, I think, a real hurdle for many would-be home buyers or people who want to refinance over the past couple of years, that lenders seem to be, you know, cherry-picking the best credit risks, and not everybody has great credit right now.
It's nice to see it, and Jerry, I know you're heavily involved in that whole industry and know much more about it than I could speak to, but there's all kinds of changes that are going on with regards to how those scores are derived, what is affecting them, and I think that there's positive direction that is being made to have those fairly represent someone's creditworthiness.
Okay. So did you cover what you wanted to cover on a spouse with bad credit and
no,
someone who has good credit? Or
kind of summarize on if you have a spouse who's got bad credit, and the main thing you'll hear me say throughout our interview today is be proactive. Take action before you get to the point where you want to be putting a contract on a house. Take 10 minutes, speak to a loan officer somewhere, or speak to someone that's recommended to you. But if you have, find out that a spouse or whoever you're buying a house with has a score lower than the program, the best mortgage program that you might be looking for, there are other things you can do to be able to take action and get that score raised up before you put a contract on a house.
Yeah,
so,
if you're serious about getting a house and you really want to buy one, I've recommended it for years. You need to talk to a mortgage professional sooner rather than later, because these things do take time. If you find a mistake or even something that you could perhaps address on your credit score, it can take some time to get that fixed.
It can. And Jerry, it used to be that there was some flexibility. It used to be that lenders could make, okay, we say the guideline 680 and someone's coming in at 675, and can we make an exception? To say that no exceptions are made would be too black and white, but it is much more difficult. I mean, we see loans – you know, get declined for that particular application because the score is off by a few points, and you have to wait until they bring that score up.
Yeah, and that hurts. Well, I'm talking to Joe Kelly. He has earned the distinction of being one of the top 1% of loan officers in the U.S., the entire country, 6 years in a row. He currently runs a division of Access National Mortgage in Reston, Virginia, and he has a talented and experienced team of loan officers who bring cutting-edge mortgage programs and education to the general public and real estate community nationwide. You can visit ARC Loan, that's ARCLoan.com, and you can refi.com to learn more. And I'm proud to have both ARC Loan and you can refi.com as one of the sponsors of Talk Credit Radio. So, Joe, let's talk about what if you have decent credit, but you want to buy a distressed property. So we certainly have plenty of those in Florida. You're looking around. You're saying that's a great deal on a house, but it's a foreclosure. It's gone through foreclosure. How do you get financing? Is it different for that type of property?
Great question. And as you said, there are a lot all around. And they present some incredible opportunities from a buying standpoint. Certainly where values have declined significantly, it gives a great opportunity. As far as from the process, for the individual looking to buy, qualifying to buy that property is the same whether they're buying it in the property, they're buying it from a bank that now owns the property, or whether they're buying a house that's being resold by the current owners. They still have to go through the same qualifications for qualifying. And it's not going to be any harder or easier in general to do that. What they need to be aware of is that when a property is foreclosed, the majority of what we see when those properties go to foreclosure and then they go to auction, many, many, many of those homes are then bought back by the bank. So they're owned by the bank.
Okay.
They're holding that. There are also a number of properties that were taken back by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Okay. So if I'm looking to buy one of those properties, you're going to get the benefit of a significantly lower price, but you're going to have to be prepared and be aware that the timing and how long it takes to go through that process and the hoops that you may have to jump through are going to be greater in number and greater in difficulty than if you were just going and buying a normal resale.
Mm.
If you're dealing with a bank, a corporation, and the time period to get things approved and to move through that process, where a normal purchase of a home may be as little as 30 days, when you're buying a foreclosed property, which is typically called an REO property, you should be prepared for, you know, 60 days or 90 days. Not to say that it can't happen faster. It's just we see it so often drag out because you have to deal with corporations instead of an individual seller.
So you have to have some thick skin and figure if you're going to get a good deal, you're going to, you know, work for it, right?
That's right. Hey, I mean, there's tremendous value in the equity that you're picking up and being able to get a property that in many cases is still being offered at a price that's below market, even with the markets in many areas starting to bounce back up. Those foreclosure properties offer great deals. But you got to be willing to go the extra mile and do the work with that. And work with a real estate agent. Look for one who's familiar with doing that process.
Okay. Well, that's good advice. I want to talk a little bit more generally about what's going on in mortgages these days, because I think there's a sense among home buyers and homeowners that it has changed and they're not sure, you know, what's available today. So one of the things I want you to lay out for us is the general, you talked about this a little bit earlier, but generally what kinds of credit scores are going to get you the best loans, medium loans these days? What should you be shooting for?
Okay. On the credit score side, in general, you want to be trying to have a 680, what's called median score, your middle score. So one score could be higher than that, one score could be lower than that. And that would be on what's called a mortgage credit report, not the kind that you just go and run a personal one. Those are good to have, but they can't be used as a firm indicator of what you're going to get when a mortgage lender pulls that. So credit scores in that 680 to 700 range are going to give you your best options. Again, there are some options if you're lower than that, but then you start to get more limited. Okay? And then it's from a qualifying standpoint, everyone's heard about the mortgage industry going through tremendous upheaval over the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. It has. and it's gotten more and more difficult to get loans, and certain programs have gone away. But it's not as bad as people may have gotten the perception of. There are still fantastic mortgage programs. All the standard, if you will, vanilla type of loans, 30-year, 15-year, 20-year amortization loans. By the way, we're still the only country in the world that offers a 30-year amortized loan. It's spreading
really?
Out over that time period.
Really?
So,
wow.
Programs such as the FHA program, which comes from HUD, still allows first-time buyers a fantastic ability that gives them expanded guidelines for qualifying. It lets them put less money down to qualify. If you're a veteran, you can still put zero money down to buy a home. And there are some other programs out there that I'll just name, HomePath and USDA. You don't have to remember them now. Not that important. But that also allow minimum down payments. The key is, again, taking action early. Speak with someone that is a recommended lender. There's all kinds of loan officers out there. Many are very, very good. Many are sales-oriented. You want to find somebody who's education-oriented, who's going to take the time to walk you through that process so that you don't have to wait and have it be stressful when you're trying to put a contract on a house.
Yeah, I agree, absolutely. And one of the things I think is challenging for a lot of people because of incomes have shifted and businesses have shifted is if you're self-employed. What are the, you know, what's different now or what's the same if you're self-employed and trying to get a mortgage loan right now?
Boy, that one's a touchy subject. You know, there's so many benefits of being self-employed and running your own business, but how it is comes to affect you when you're looking to get financing, that is an area where the world has most certainly changed. Mm. Until about 4 or 5 years ago, there were very flexible guidelines as to what a person running their business said that they were making and had income compared to maybe what they were legitimately deducting on their taxes and showing that way. If you're a self-employed borrower in today's world, they're going to need to be providing a minimum of 2 years full tax returns. If it's a corporation, they're going to provide the corporation tax returns. The lender is going to be looking at the adjusted gross income, which means that they're going to, you know, let's say you made $1 million in your business, but you wrote off $950,000 in expenses. They're going to look at it and say, well, you know, from qualifying, we see $50,000 of income.
Hmm.
Right? And that's a big trade-off of the benefits of running your own business because there are many legitimate expenses and things that people can take doing that, but it will affect them when they go to buy a house, because they're going to look at that adjusted gross income, they're going to look at other depreciation things that are coming out of that. Again, those loans haven't gone away by any means, Jerry, but they should be prepared. They're going to get more questions, they're going to get more requests for documenting what it is that they have as income, and showing that income is consistent. Like if we, you know, right now we're in the just entering the second quarter of this year, come summer. If they're buying this summer, they're going to be saying, hey, we see what you made last year in 2010, but, hey, can we want to see a profit and loss statement, something that shows me, are you still doing just as well as you were last year?
Yeah, I see.
Okay.
So it's, again, it's being prepared, working with professionals so you know what's coming ahead and just being ready to, you know, go with the punches.
That's really the bottom line. Those ones haven't gone away. There's still fantastic programs. If you're self-employed, you certainly can still qualify. But you have to realize that they're going to look at the income much more detailed than they did the last time you got a loan was 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay, so before I let you go in a few minutes, we have about 4 or 5 minutes left, I want you to talk about HARP, because this is a program that you really got on my radar, and now that I've started talking about it, I've written some articles about it, I've gotten a great response from homeowners. I don't think it's well publicized at all, but it's a terrific program for someone who doesn't have much equity in their home. So tell me how HARP works.
Great. I'm glad you brought it up. And so we're going to switch off of talking about purchases, and we'll address some folks who still own their homes. HARP stands for Home Affordable Refinance Program, and it's a government program that was started in 2009 by the Obama administration. It was created to help homeowners take advantage of low interest rates, even if the values of their property have declined. Now, many people have heard of a kind of a sister program. It's called HAMP, the Modification Program, and that has widely been viewed as not very successful. That's where people get behind on their mortgages, and they go in and they modify the program. The Home Affordable Refinance Program, Jerry, you mentioned it, but I still feel that many people who are eligible for this program are not aware of it or haven't taken 10 minutes to find out if they might be eligible. And here are the basics on it. For if your home declined in value, let's say that it's three years ago or more, you put 20% down on a house, you went and bought a house, and you're in a neighborhood where that value has fallen, as it has in many areas. If you went in last year to try and go and refinance, and they did an appraisal, and they came back and said, hey, you know, before you had 20% equity in your house, and now we've done the appraisal, you have none. Your house is worth the same as the mortgage. You know, we believe it's going to go up in the future, but that's what it is right now. That would block most people from taking advantage of low interest rates and refinancing. The Home Affordable Refinance Program allows them to still refinance. They do not have to get new mortgage insurance, which is costly. So if they didn't have it before, they don't have to have it, even if they have no equity in the house, even if they have negative equity in the house. The program actually allows them to be up to 25%, what's called underwater. So 125%, the loan can be 125% of the value of the house. And they still can take advantage of rates. For example, in the 30-year fixed rates, they're still in around 5%.
That, you know, Joe, this is tremendous. I mean, it really is for someone who has seen their equity drop and feels like they are stuck. Even if they have a good rate right now, if it's an adjustable rate, you know what? It's going to go up. I mean, it's only a matter of time before it goes up. And the question is, do you want to sit there holding the bag when it goes up and pay that higher interest rate and that higher payment? So, to me, this program is just almost sounds too good to be true, but it's real.
It is one of the most fantastic programs that I've seen at any point in my 20 years, and certainly one of the most fantastic programs that exists today. It's available if you have an investment property. It's available if you have a second home. It's available if you are trying to remove one spouse from the title. You can still refinance, and there are situations where people need to be doing that, and maybe they were blocked before. It really is fantastic. Now, there are certain qualifications. It's easy. It takes about 5 minutes to find out if people are eligible, and there's no obligation to find out, just finding out if you're eligible for the program. And that's what we try to get the word out there. Don't let this program go away. And currently it's slated. It just got extended. Great news it was going to expire this June. It's now been extended to next June.
That's June 2012 right now.
Mm-hmm. So the combination of very low rates and this program being available, basically, if anybody does not refinance and gotten rates in those low fives on a 30-year fix or in the mid-fours on a 15-year fix, if you miss that boat, there is a program that possibly you qualify for that makes that process much simpler than maybe you thought you had.
Yeah, and Joe, two other things. And, of course, I want to mention your website. You can refi.com, YOUCANREFI.com, because that's where they can go to find out if they're eligible for this program. No charge, no obligation. No one's going to spam them or anything if they find out. But the second thing I want to make sure I mention is that you don't have to have perfect credit for this program.
That's right. There are expanded guidelines from the credit standpoint as well.
And then the last thing I want to make sure I mention on this is that you can also refinance second homes and investment properties using HARP. And that's a tremendous advantage because right now investors are stuck. Many of them got adjustable rate loans. They're not cash flowing. A fixed rate, low rate loan would allow them to hold on through these difficult times, keep the property, and, you know, not end up in a foreclosure or short sale situation.
Exactly, and I don't think that in the last several years the program has been out there that publicity has gotten out there to tell people that if you're an investor or if it's a second home, you can use this program.
Well, I'm trying. I'm writing the articles as fast as I can, Joe. Well, Joe, thank you so much for joining me, and I appreciate you not only today but every week when you bring us the weekly mortgage report. You keep us up to date, and again, if you're listening and you're thinking, I need to look at either getting a home or refinancing, you can go to arcloan.com, that's ARCLOAN.com, and you can refi.com. Thank you, Joe.
Jerry, it was great to be with you. Thank you.
Well, Talk Credit Radio is also sponsored by Credit.com, and at Credit.com, you can get your free credit report card. You see your credit grade and your credit score range, plus you get advice tailored just for you. It's truly free. You won't even be asked for your credit card number. And there's no impact to your credit scores. So you can get your credit reports free credit report card today at credit.com. Now stay with me. I'm going to be talking with a credit scoring expert, worked at FICO 15 years. He knows what he's talking about. This is Talk Credit Radio, and you can listen to us at talkcreditradio.com.